When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And I was just staring out the window here of the studio, looking at the person that's sitting in the front seat of this SUV and wondering why they are staring at me. Why is this woman staring directly at me and doesn't seem to be breaking her stare? And then I looked a little bit closer and realized that's not a woman. That's just the back of a seat. But it looked like a face. Looked like a woman wearing sunglasses, looking right into the studio with a kind of a thin face, but long blonde hair. But it's just the seat. I'm weird. Anyway, this will be the first hour of the day where we'll have your codes coming up for Money Talks. So if you are listening for those codes and collecting them, your first one will be coming up in just a bit. And of course, you enter those in the Money Talks page at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Not an app chat, as one person did yesterday. Our first person. A week into the contest, was the first person to do that. So, but stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up.
You're listening.
Not yet. You don't want to have that. Not too soon, Tim. Don't get people so excited now. I jumped the gun there. I jumped the gun and got excited. That's not what time it is yet. How many of you went and grabbed your phone and said, "Oh my God, he's doing the code early. Oh my God, he's doing the code early." Grab the phone. I don't want to miss the code. I'm not doing it early. It is definitely not that time yet. So, right now, we're just waiting. We're going to be joined by Alice Hoffman in just a few moments. But right now, if you don't already have the WBSM app downloaded to be able to enter those codes quickly and easily, go ahead over to the App Store and do that. Get it from your Google Play Store if you have an Android phone or a Google phone. Get it from the Apple Store if you have an iPhone. Or you can go to WBSM.com and click on the Listen tab and get it from there. And it'll email it right to your device. But download that, install it, have it ready to go so that when that first code comes in, you can just enter it on there. It's so quick and easy to do that. Also, while you're there, you can enter to win tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco at TD Garden on October 4th. We're going to be picking winners for those all week long. So many contests going on all the time at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and so many more to come. We've got plenty more giveaways to give away over the next couple of weeks. We've got Fright Fest Fridays with Six Flags tickets on Fridays. Oh, there's so many other things coming up that I wish I could tell you about, but I can't do that because we've got something else we've got to do. And we are joined now by Alice Hoffman, the highly acclaimed author of over 30 novels for readers of all ages, including The Dove Keepers, The World That We Knew, The Marriage of Opposites, Incantation, The Foretelling, The Invisible Hour, and what I think a lot of New England folks probably know her for is Practical Magic, which is a beloved book here and a beloved novel here in New England. And she's joining us to talk about her new book, When We Flew Away, a novel of Anne Frank before the diary. Good morning, Alice. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us. And as I mentioned, you know, Practical Magic is a huge book, movie, everything associated with it. Everybody in New England loves it. And so this time of year, I'm sure you're getting a lot of people who are fans of that book reaching out to you. Sure.
It is. It's kind of become a thing to watch Practical Magic with groups of people, and it's kind of become intergenerational. So it's fun.
But you get the chance to tell stories and to share not only, you know, things that you've created with your own mind, but we'll talk about Anne Frank and the inspiration for this new novel. But you get to tell stories that do live on with people, that resonate with people.
I know. I feel very lucky about that, because for me, you know, being a reader really changed my life. So I feel very lucky to be able to be a writer.
And as we said at the top, you write for all ages. And when you have an idea for a story, do you think, what is the story that I want to tell to this age group? Or do you think to yourself, I have this story to tell, and what age group should I tailor it to?
I think it goes together, actually. It's the story and the age group come together. Like, I know what age group it's for. But having said that, I don't really feel there are age groups anymore. I feel like, you know, so many adults read young adult and middle grade fiction, and so many kids are reading adult or young adult. So it's really, you know, I feel like I'm writing it for everybody.
Well, with that in mind, let's talk about the new novel, When We Flew Away. And this is, as I said, a novel of Anne Frank before the diary. You're writing a novel, but at the same time, you're writing about an actual person that lived. Mm-hmm. What was it that drew you to Anne Frank and wanted to take this approach to telling the story?
Well, I was hugely affected by Anne Frank's diary. I read it when I was 12. And it was a really important book to me. I felt like it was speaking directly to me. It was, you know, I hadn't read anything by like a young woman, a young girl who was Jewish. And really, when I was growing up, we read all male writers. So it was just very mind expanding for me to read that book. And I felt very close to her. And I think that's one of the things about Anne Frank's diary. I think it's the greatest first-person narration in literature, and it just makes you feel like you're being spoken to directly. So that was one of the, you know, I've always been interested in her. And then Scholastic, my publisher, really came up with the idea to do a book about her life and the life of her family before they went into hiding from the Nazis. And they went to the Anne Frank house in Amsterdam and discussed it with them, and they wanted to be involved, and then they came to me.
So when you're talking about Anne Frank's diary, you're talking about what she endured during the time that she was hiding from the Nazis. But as we mentioned, this is a novel of Anne Frank before the diary, and so you really got to dive into who she was as a person beyond just this extreme circumstance that she went through.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, her family was originally from Germany, which I didn't know. And they left Germany during the rise of the Nazis, and came to the Netherlands thinking they were going to a safe, neutral country, never imagining that just a few years later that the Netherlands would be attacked by Germany. And then you know, everything changed slowly, and then all at once, everything changed for them.
And really, the idea of telling this story and being able to present who they were offers an even more human perspective of this family and what they went through. So knowing what they were like before these circumstances, you get a better idea of how it was everyday, ordinary people who were living in fear of their lives during the Nazi regime.
Yeah, that is so true. And when I went over there to meet with people from the Anne Frank house, and they kind of gave me a tour through, you know, what their lives had been, you know, I went to the apartment where they lived, the house where they lived. I went to the school that Anne had gone to, the Montessori school. I went to the park that she went to. And everything just served to make me feel, you know, this was just a normal family living in a very nice neighborhood where there were a lot of immigrants. And then all of a sudden, their lives completely changed.
And we had an incident here last year where a local restaurant shared a meme of Anne Frank in a very negative and nasty way. Oh. And part of the problem with it was they said that it was a lack of education on their part for knowing who Anne Frank was, for recognizing who she was and for what that story was all about. And I was shocked by that because I said, how have you not heard of Anne Frank? But I guess that is something that is kind of the case today, that it's not as ubiquitous of a story as it was when I was growing up.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I hadn't heard about that incident, but that's very true. And I know that when I started the book, you know, you'd think that everyone knows who Anne Frank is, and you think that people are reading about it in school. I don't think that's so true anymore. And I know that when I started, I was talking to my niece who's Austrian and lives in Vienna, and I told her I was going to work on this book about Anne Frank, and she had never heard of Anne Frank. And I thought, well, this is really the time to write about this again, because when you forget history, that's when you repeat it.
And really, when you don't know it, you don't really have any kind of context for when it's given you. You need something like this to be able to, like this novel, to be able to dive deeper into the story to have that understanding, more so than just a couple of paragraphs in a history book.
Right. And I think that's, well, you know, I as a novelist, I think that novels are one way to really understand how other people think and feel, and a way to find compassion for situations that you really have never lived and will never live, but you live it through reading the novel.
And you had mentioned that the Anne Frank House had helped you with this. So There's a responsibility when you're writing about a person who really did live to try to be as accurate as you can in the information that you're presenting. How did you balance that of being able to want to tell this story in a work of fiction, but also be true to the real life person and family?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really scary thing for me that, you know, I've written historical fiction before and I've, you know, had experts help me. But this, more than anything else I'd written, I wanted to make sure I got it right. I mean, she's so beloved and it's such an important story that I didn't want to get things wrong. Of course, everybody can always make mistakes, but I felt working with the researchers and the experts at the Anne Frank House, I felt more comfortable about taking on the project.
And when you are writing for young people, you've got to think in your mind, I'm assuming, that these kids aren't familiar with Anne Frank, not only because of the lack of education, but just because they might not have encountered that story yet by the time they're reading this. So you're kind of serving as their introduction to that story. And I can imagine that was a huge responsibility.
It felt like a huge honor, but also like a huge responsibility. And, you know, my goal or my feeling is, you know, more than anything, I would want someone to finish my book and then pick up Anne Frank's diary and read further. So I wanted to be sure as I could be, that everything was correct. But you're right. You know, it was scary. But I felt like it was an important story to tell.
And it's really important in this day and age because a lot of the folks who actually lived through the Holocaust are starting to pass away and are no longer with us to be able to be the ones to share their stories. And we don't want to let those stories go away. We don't want to let them kind of fade into history and lose that first person narrative, because you take away that impact and it just, like I said, it becomes a story in a book and it doesn't have the same resonance for people to learn the lessons of the past.
Absolutely. I felt the same way. I felt that, you know, there are not that many survivors left, and soon there will be no survivors left. And what will that mean to, you know, the way we remember them and the way we remember what happened? And that, you know, I thought it was really important to continue to write about it.
And I know you said that you thought a lot about Anne Frank as you were writing this, but how do you think she would feel about the finished product when we flew away, and how she would feel about not only what you've written here, but being able to present it out to the world?
You know, I feel like it is such an honor to write about her. I don't know what she would have felt about it. I sometimes think about the fact that she wanted to be a great writer, and she did become a great writer, and that she wanted her work to be known. And I feel like I'm writing this book in service to that, of having more and more people know about her.
I've often heard her referred to as the greatest single book author of all time. because that one story that she had to tell was such an important story.
I think that's really true. I agree with you.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us and for sharing this. Everybody should go out and pick up a copy, no matter how old they are. When we say it's written for young readers, it's so that young readers can read it and comprehend it and understand it. But also, as you said, it's for all ages to really enjoy and learn from.
That's really true. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So great talking with Alice Hoffman here on the program. And of course, you can pick up that book. Get it, give it, share it with somebody who needs to learn more about the Holocaust, or, you know, someone who might not know anything at all about it, and help keep that important information out there. And I'm not somebody who reads a lot of young adult books, but I thumbed through this one and read some of the chapters of it. And it doesn't matter that it's written for young adults to understand, but it's not only for young adults to read. You know, if you're an adult, if you're a grown up and you read Harry Potter as an adult, you know, you're used to reading young adult books, and you know what it means to read one of those young adult books. It doesn't mean that it talks down. It doesn't mean that it's, you know, goofy or silly. It means that it's written in at a comprehension level that that people that age can understand, which is a very hard thing to do. Everyone thinks, oh, I could write a kid's book. I could write a young adult book. It's not as easy as you think it is, because you try to write more sophisticatedly than people of that age group can understand. Anyway, 508-996-0500 if you would like to join in the conversation. And I think, you know, this is timely because we had the conversation recently with everything that's going on with Israel and Hamas, the Palestinians. We've been talking about this at the forefront of things. And also the comments that were recently made by former President Trump at an event that was combating anti-Semitism, when he said that any Jewish person that votes for Kamala Harris should have their head examined. And he says that if he doesn't win the election, that Jewish people would have a lot to do with that. Now, he was speaking that they would keep anti-Semitism from being on the rise, but there are people who feel that his comments were anti-Semitic because it creates that illusion of the bad Jews, the Jews that are in control, the Jews that can influence things, and it perpetuates that stereotype. And I don't think that's what he meant by it. But still, that's, you know, come on. You don't have to make statements like that to prove your point, that any Jew that votes for her should have their head examined. Insert any other group and apply that statement to it, and people would be outraged. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here. We'll be right back. And you know what time it is. Now it's time to pick up your phone and open up that WBSM app. Right, let's take a quick call before the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How you doing?
I completely spaced out that you're going to be going to the news.
That's all right. I got a couple of minutes.
All right. You know, in regards to what Donald Trump said, I think it's obviously going to be twisted, right? It's going to be twisted by some of the people who are blaming Jewish people for what's going on in the Middle East. You know, it's the people on the left, progressives, consistently have always, in this particular situation in the Middle East, always gone after and attacked and blamed the Jewish state for what's happening in the Middle East. Yet at the same time, try to project some type of pro-Jewish sentiment here at home, right, when it comes to attacking Donald Trump. What Donald Trump is saying is historically Jewish people have supported the Democrats over and over again. More than 50% of Jewish people consistently supported them. Mm-hmm. So by saying what he said, he's saying, listen, if I don't win, it's probably because you voted for the other person. Maybe try to change your opinion and come look at what I have to offer. That's what he's saying. It's not anti-Semitic.
It's anti-Semitic to people because the basis of saying that is to vilify them in the first place.
Well, no, it would be actually saying, listen, you didn't vote for me. That means you probably either stayed home or most likely voted for Harris, which is why I lost. And historically, if you look at the data, election data, Jewish people predominantly support Democrats or liberals or progressives. So it's not anti-Semitic. It's literally based on data. It's literally based on what they have done historically.
So,
it's not anti-Semitic.
But why would you stand in front of a group of Jewish people, which I'm sure a majority of this room was, and say to them, if I don't win this election, it's your fault?
Because he's talking to the actual voters who would go out to the polls and vote for Harris, most likely.
But you can make that sentiment by saying, you know, I really need to have the Jewish support in this election. I know that normally, you know, you may tend to lean to vote Democrat, but it's very important that you vote for me this time. But there's a difference between saying that and saying any Jewish person that votes for Kamala Harris needs to have their head examined. One is a statement of positivity. One is a statement, and the other is a statement of blame.
Yes, I agree with you. We all know how Donald Trump speaks, and he speaks like, you know, like he has two marbles in his head, and that's about it. He doesn't think. His mouth runs faster than his mind, to be honest with you. But what he's saying, if we actually are analytical on what he's saying, that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, listen, Jewish people, I know that you guys always support Harris, but if you really want a pro-Jewish president, I'm your guy. You have to not vote for Harris. And the reason is, I mean, just look at the anti-Israel protests that we have seen on the left across this country this year. You can't say in one point Donald Trump is being anti-Semitic and also Harris's supporters are pro-Israel, because it doesn't make sense, because a lot of those people on the left are very pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, because they blame Israel. See, Donald Trump is saying, I'm going to blame the Jewish people for me not winning because they didn't vote for me. Meanwhile, the very progressives who are saying that about Donald Trump are blaming Israel for what's going on in the Middle East. You can't separate the two. It's the same people speaking out of both sides of their mouth. The same people who blame this, if you look at it as a singularity, if you look at it as one person will say Donald Trump's anti-Semitic because he just blamed the Jewish people for him not winning, he will also blame Israel for what's going on in the Middle East. They're just trying to play both sides of the fence here, and it's not right.
Let me just read you one quote, and then I got to turn things over to Phil because he's waiting to do the news. But this Amy Spitalnik, the CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, an American Jewish nonprofit organization that advocates for progressive and liberal policies, said on X that Trump's speech on Jewish people voting for Harris was, quote, advancing this anti-Semitic trope. She says, stop dividing Jews into good and bad camps. Stop labeling those who don't support you as crazy or disloyal. Stop playing into dual loyalty tropes. All of it makes Jews less safe. So I just wanted to, you know, give to you that.
I understand that. And it's almost similar to exactly what Biden said years ago with, if you don't vote for me, you're not black.
Yep. Also a stupid thing to say. Yep.
Right. But Biden did not get attacked by the black community the way Donald Trump's getting attacked by the Jewish community. You notice that?
Well, I can't speak to why they didn't decide that offended them more and why they didn't feel the need to say something more. But certainly Jewish people have every right to be offended by what Donald Trump said.
I mean, you'd have a point, because, again, like I said, his mouth moves faster than his mind. But I understand what he's saying. If you don't vote for me, right, you're voting for Harris, and that's why. And that's, I'm blaming you because I'm blaming you for me losing because you didn't support me. You didn't vote for me. The reason why I didn't win, because you didn't vote for me. And that's basically all he's saying.
All right, I got to hold you there, but you have a good day.
All right, Tim.
All right, let's turn things over now to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom. Sorry, Phil, we were having a good conversation there. I didn't mean to make you wait.
Biden making one of his last major speeches as president today. Boeing makes a final offer to striking workers. And if you're messy, blame your genetic makeup.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The wars in Ukraine and Gaza will likely be part of President Biden's address to the UN General Assembly today in New York City. The president is also expected to talk about the future in relation to artificial intelligence and climate change. Today's address marks one of Biden's last major speeches as president. The Florida Gulf Coast and Panhandle are bracing for what's expected to become a Category 3 hurricane. Forecasters say a potential cyclone will strengthen into Tropical Storm Helene in the coming hours. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is declaring a state of emergency for more than 36 counties. Boeing officials say they presented the striking machinists union with their best and final offer in an attempt to end the walkout that began on September 13th. Striking workers like Jacob Larson say the new offer falls short of some of their demands.
This best and final offer, please, you know, blow smoke up somebody else's rear end, you know.
The deal on the table would give employees a general wage increase of 30% over 4 years. Anyone with a severe allergy needs to stay away from lactate milk products for the time being. The FDA is reporting various 96-ounce containers of lactate may have trace amounts of almonds that aren't listed on the ingredient labels. Affected products have a Best Buy date between November 22nd and December 5th. Add California to the list of states requiring schools to limit or ban the use of smartphones. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the law Monday, and schools are required to have a policy in place by July of 2026. The move comes after the largest school district in the state, Los Angeles, banned smartphones for students in June. An 8-foot-tall statue of the Man in Black going up inside the U.S. Capitol. A statue of Johnny Cash will be added to the National Statuary Hall collection today. It features the singer with a guitar slung across his back and a Bible in hand. It'll replace the current statue of former Arkansas Governor and U.S. Senator James Clark. A California man who was abducted in 1951 when he was 6 years old has been found alive. Details from Mark Mayfield.
The Mercury News in San Jose reported that Luis Armando Albino had been located living on the East Coast. Albino's niece took an online ancestry test in 2020 that showed her DNA was a 22% match for a man on the East Coast. After scouring old newspaper stories, the niece took her hunch to law enforcement that the man could be her missing uncle. Investigators were able to locate Albino in June, and he was able to fly to California to reunite with his family, including his brother. It's unclear if there's an ongoing investigation. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And research shows sloppiness is genetic. Bree Tennis with details on levels of mess and who you can blame.
The mess gene has been identified as HOXB8. That gene helps us stay clean and organized, and about 60% of us fall into the area of managing the mess. Maybe some piles of stuff, but you know where it is. But then there's the flat-out slob with mess everywhere. Experts say it's not bad, but it is one step away from hoarding. But scientifically, some people are just more predisposed to being messier than others. A personality trait you can blame on your parents. I'm Bree Tennis.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox beat the Toronto Blue Jays 4-1 last night. We'll see if they can get another win tonight. It'll be their fourth straight. Bruins searching for their first win of the preseason, falling to the New York Rangers 3-2 in their opener at TD Garden. They're hosting the Washington Capitals tonight. And the Patriots gearing up for a visit to the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. We'll have the game for you here on WBSM.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Mostly cloudy skies this morning. A light breeze out of the northeast will keep the cloud cover. Upper 50s, mid-60s with mostly cloudy skies this afternoon. Mid-50s overnight. And as we head into tomorrow, we'll do it all over again. As we head into tomorrow night into Thursday, we'll be seeing a slight chance for some showers. Temps in the upper 60s. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecilia Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails in the WBSM app. And you heard Phil mention there, Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They have an event happening on Thursday that you might want to take part in. Misunderstood Reds. It is a wine education night where you can learn more about red wine and some of those misunderstood reds. And it's happening this Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. It is a free event. However, they are asking that you sign up at eventbrite.com because there are limited spots to be able to attend. They still have a few spots remaining if you are interested. So go to eventbrite.com, search for Stevie's Wine and Spirits, and you will find the information there. You can also go to the Stevie's Wine and Spirits Facebook page and Instagram as well. And then also, don't forget, too, while you're there, you can purchase your raffle tickets for the big raffle that's happening to benefit the Fairhaven Veterans Center. The Fairhaven Veterans Center is located just down the road from Stevie's. And as part of the big fall favorites tasting that's happening this Saturday, they're doing this raffle as a way to raise some funds for the Fairhaven's Veterans Center. So if you want to, you know, go and take this wine course, or if you don't want to take this wine class and you want to just stop by and buy your raffle tickets, you can do so anytime between now and the event on Saturday. Of course, you can also get them during the event on Saturday as well. And you can help the Fairhaven Veterans Center while also maybe winning yourself some really cool prizes, including some amazing glassware. I'm going to go down there and get some raffle tickets probably today, maybe tomorrow. And hopefully, fingers crossed, might come away with one of those cool prizes. But that's okay. If you win instead of me, I'll be just as happy. Unfortunately, I won't be at the Fall Favorites tasting, though. I'll be at TerraCon this weekend. I unfortunately did not sync up my calendars correctly. So I know I'd said before that I would be there. And normally I would be. I try to go to all the tastings I have there, but this time around, I will be in Marlboro, so anybody that does come out to that will see me, but those of you who are going to go to the tasting instead, have one for me. All right. Again, 508-996-0500. So just going back to the previous caller and what we were discussing about, you know, Donald Trump and the things that he says, I want to direct you to a documentary that premiered recently on HBO. It's on Max if you want to watch it on Max. And it's called Stopping the Steal. And it does a deep dive into what happened following the 2020 election. And it speaks to people who were part of the White House and who were working with Donald Trump at that time. It talks to some of the officials who were handling the election in states like Arizona and Georgia and what they were hearing from the White House as this was going on. They talked to Bill Barr, who was the Attorney General while this was going on, and, you know, becoming part of the scapegoating by Donald Trump for this. And a lot, I think the revisionist history is that, oh, yeah, you know, Donald Trump fired Bill Barr. He didn't. Bill Barr resigned. Someone from the White House, too, that was involved talked about how she resigned right after, like in the moment that Trump said, I'm going to go down there with you on January 6th. Alyssa Farah Griffin, who was the communications director at the time, speaks in this, and so do a lot of Republican officials who were pressured by the White House to push this narrative. So it's very eye-opening in the way that this operated, and it's worth a watch. Whether you believe that it was stolen or not, it wasn't, but give it a watch and see what you think. At the very least, it gives you some insight into how the Trump White House worked the first time and a preview of what would happen for a second time. And it's a pretty well done documentary. I mean, clearly it has its theme, its thesis. So if you're looking for something that is going to be objective and say, well, we're not sure if the election was stolen, and here's the facts of both sides. No, it comes out basically and says there's no proof, but here's what they tried to do anyway. So whether you agree with that or disagree with it, I still think, you know, you should give it a watch and see what you think. 508-996-0500. I can take a call here before the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. I mentioned in the chat, too, that he had just said yesterday about the Catholics. He said the same thing. You should have your head examined if you vote for Kamala. I mean, this is, people say, oh, this is the way he talks. This is the way he talks. It's foolish. It's ridiculous already. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times do we have to cut this guy, you know, cut this guy a break?
Right.
I mean,
that's just the way he talks doesn't excuse somebody for saying something. That's biased.
Exactly.
That's negative.
That's right. That's, you know, but they just go right along. Oh, that's Donald Trump. That's Donald Trump. You know, that's BS is what that is.
You know, I think I'm going to start trying that with callers. I think I'm, you know, when callers call in and disagree with them, I'm going to tell them, you know, hey, go screw yourself. And then when people call up and say, why would you say that to a caller? I'm going to say, well, that's just how I talk.
Have a good day.
You too. Take care. All right. We got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. You know, I was, you know, just listening to the last call, and he's absolutely right on what he had to say. But you know what really, really kind of irks me is that they never call him out on stuff like, example, like after the debate they just had. You know, he's doing all these interviews saying, you know, even the crowd was cheering for me because they didn't fact check her, but they fact checked me, and there was no crowd.
Right,
there was nobody there. So why don't they ever say, like, gee, you're sitting there lying right through your teeth, and nobody says anything, you know? But you know, if Kamala said that, you know, it would have been like, I don't know, they would have never let it go, you know. And another thing that really bugs me is that, you know, the left is inciting violence, and that's why people want to kill him. That's why they're going after him, which is totally, totally bumped. All the things that he says on a daily basis. Don't you remember when he said that, how's it go, when he said Liz Cheney should face a military tribunal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
here's
the thing is, you know, people, you're saying that they need to call him out for lies. And listen, I know he has a history of lying, but here's the other thing that people need to consider. What if he's not lying? What if he's just not all there anymore? What if he's just losing it because he's an old man now? Right.
They'll never say that.
Oh, they said it about Joe Biden. And I'm starting to see more and more signs of it with Donald Trump. The guy's not all there anymore.
I know. You're probably right, but he's going to have to do a lot more than just lie before they say anything like that about him. But,
no.
You know, I'm just giving you some examples of some of the things that he said. You know, I remember him saying Hillary would be best served if she was dealt with a person from the Second Amendment. Stuff like that. The Joint Chiefs should be executed. Isn't that stuff in inspiring violence?
I mean, it only is if somebody's, you know, motivated to actually do it. But at the same time, you know, those are things that can be handled better. And they can be said better. And it's okay to call it out when somebody could have said something better. You know, you can get your point across without being so base and crass. The problem is he's talking to people that don't have the mental capacity to make those observations. You know, he's got to give them the red meat because that's what they can respond to. Sure, you and I and most of the people that are listening to this program could understand, you know, the nuance of what he means if he put it in a different way, but he's feeding it to the people that can only take it at the basis level.
Yeah.
I got to hold you there because I want to take another call.
Okay.
You have a good day. Oops, sorry, didn't mean to hang up on you there. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hello. Tim.
Yes.
Hi. Am I?
I'm
just calling. I want to clarify something. You were talking before about Stevies.
Mm-hmm.
And did you say veterans extent that they were helping our veterinary, because, you know, veterinary is animal.
Yep.
Which place are they helping?
The Fairhaven Veterans Center. So veterans from the military.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. And if anybody is not sure where that is, that's located on Huddleston Avenue. So it's in the plaza where Golden Chopsticks was, and now they have the Armory there, next to the Walgreens over there. And so they have the Fairhaven Veterans Center there. And as part of their efforts with this fall favorite tasting, they are running a raffle to raise money to benefit the Veterans Center. But yes, it can be a little confusing because they have worked with Fairhaven Animal Shelter in the past with some of these as well. But this time it's not veterinarian, it's veterans, military veterans at the Fairhaven Veterans Center. So when you come and buy raffle tickets at Stevie's, that's who the money is going to support. 508-996-0500. We have a few moments left. We can squeeze in another call or two. Let me get my final break out of the way, though, so that we can make sure we get them all in the books for the day. We'll be back in just a few moments. Come back in. Again, if you wanted to, somebody sent an app chat message saying, what was the name of that documentary? It's called Stopping the Steal on HBO Max. And definitely worth a watch if you want to check that out. I also saw a statement that came from Carolyn Leavitt, the national press secretary for the Trump campaign, as a result of some of those remarks that Trump made regarding the Jewish people. And she said that he, quote, did more for Israel than any American president in history. I think Harry Truman would disagree. The guy who, you know, recognized Israel as a country 11 minutes after it was created. The first world leader to do that. He might say, I did a little bit more than Donald Trump, who just really moved an embassy. But, you know, still kudos to him for getting that done. Anyway, that's going to do it for me for today. We will be back tomorrow. If you missed our conversation with Alice Hoffman, you can catch that on the podcast. We'll have that up for you in just a little bit. And as we reported earlier, the final bull was captured. So you're safe to once again roam the streets of North Attleboro. You're safe to go back to the Emerald Square Mall, the scene of the rodeo. All the bulls have now been captured. All right. Have a great day. Enjoy every sandwich. Watch out for those bulls.
WBSM and W258 DR, New Bedford, a Town Square Media station.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.